There's too much to share tonight. Sorry. I don't even have patience for my own songs. Welcome to the Mystical Mother, the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I am incredibly delighted that everybody's here tonight, especially my co-host, Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, sleepyhead.
Thank you. I'm here, wide awake. Goldie thought I was sleeping, so she woke up Simon in Norway.
and that's
fun. And so yeah, I just wrote Simon in the chat room. It's just a dream.
row.
So, yes,
silly me.
What?
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. You first.
I thought the song was pretty, though, you know.
It's a beautiful song. It is called, maybe what we'll do is we'll play it towards the end. But it is almost a 7-minute song. I realized that after I put it on. But it's called the Cheyenne Anthem and it's by Kansas, and it's found on the Left Overture album. It's a beautiful song. One of the lines I really resonate with is, it is my destiny to fight and die. Because it's funny, because me and Simon were speaking about this earlier today, how much death is becoming a part of the integration experience. And, you know, it's funny because we're always, you know, very clear on, you know, death meaning the mental or death being a belief. Mm-hmm. But, you know, part of the awareness that I've been getting this week is, you know, we separate it like mental death or belief death or emotional death is any less painful than quote-unquote physical death. And, you know, they're all painful, and they're all a genuine death. I mean, a part of us actually does die. And, you know, in that experience, the sensation I'm getting is, let us not write it off as, no, but it was just a mental part of me that died. It's like, I'm looking at more from the other side going, you know, let's really deeply honor that we are living through very certain deaths right now of ourselves. And I believe it's happening globally on some level. And so it's a matter of, you know, really kind of honoring the sacredness of this time and kind of... because it is these deaths that seem to be softening it, from my experience, softening me up and softening up my dad and softening up my whole experience. And, you know, I know you're going through deaths and Simon, and it appears, even if we're not conscious of these deaths, there is a humbling effect to the shifts and the changes that are happening. And there's no getting around it. And, you know, even the most arrogant of people, I would imagine, this October, the beginning of this October, have felt on some level a humbleizing experience. Because, you know, it seems very much these experiences are made to order. It is our souls infusing the personality. Yeah. With these new levels of awarenesses, and to have the new level of awareness, there's a level of awareness that must die.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, a lot of times I'll say to you, Goldie, in the last, 15 years, I've died so many times, and you know what I mean, and you're letting go of old self, and then I think that death becomes a taboo subject, which then locks up really the ability to be free.
Absolutely.
So I'm always happy when people discover parts of themselves that they're letting go, because it's like, oh, you're so much more comfortable with death now, you know?
Exactly. Well, you know what? I want to ask you the question that was posed on Facebook today, because... I'm curious what your answer would be. If you were to die tomorrow, how would you feel about that?
Knowing I was going to die tomorrow, in the moment, or
well, right. They didn't specify that you would know or not. Just that, you know, tomorrow
well,
you died.
You know, now asking a writer that, you know, I start having it's like, give me the details. Am I lying down? Am I in a tree? Well, how do you know? Anyway,
meteor lands on your house, and so you basically, you don't know it, and it's very swift. It's also pain-free from the physical body point of view.
I think that, you know, my relationship with death, because of my earlier experiences with my father, and then being a nurse, and then doing my own self-work. I think that I would probably be more comfortable than most, and I think that I think about death I think more realistically than a lot of people that I know. So I guess I'm more accepting and less, you know, running away from the subject. In fact, it's a funny thing about when I think, you know, people talk about the end and the end and the end, and I'm just like, I just see it as not really a reason to struggle and say, oh, no, and no matter what, you know, I'm going to live underground. I don't believe. That's not for me. It's just I'm not afraid to go, you know.
Right.
So I don't want to live like opening cans under the ground. I mean, that just doesn't appeal to me. I love the organic and nature. And
you don't want to live like an ant?
No. No, so... yeah, I don't see myself fighting that one. And also, you know, I was with my mom today, and we were at the eye doctor's because she has an eye condition, and we go to New York for the top eye doctors. And she's like, we're sitting in the waiting room, and she goes, so listen, you know, I was thinking, you know, when I die, she goes, oh, don't be depressed. And she goes, when I die, I don't really want any kind of ceremony. And I'm like, I'm so glad you said that because I wasn't planning on doing one. And then we start laughing because I realize how casual we are sitting in this waiting room. And then I look at her and I go, why are you bringing this up? And she goes, oh, I'm not going to die or anything right now. I've just been thinking about it. And I was like, because, you know, my family's kind of more introverted, and it was just so in step with how I feel. You know, none of this big production, very personal and private. And it was just funny. That's my mother. And I'm really touched that we can have that conversation without all the hoopla or this major drama, you know?
You know, that is sacred. It is sacred to have that. I mean, she's 85. It's okay. It shouldn't be drama.
Right,
you
the unspeakable or the...
Right, that's
you know,
the word.
Or the,
exactly.
Yeah, and
exactly.
So, you know, because when I was young, because my dad was sick for so long, I remember asking him, are you going to die? I just really wanted to talk about it with him, and he shrugged his shoulders, and I could tell he didn't want to talk about it with me. And that really bothered me because I was like, oh, come on, this is such an intimate, sacred thing that's happening for us. And I don't know if he was protecting me or himself or whatever, but it's a different situation with my mother, and... you know, that was just today, by the way. So death was discussed at the eye doctor, and then my mother and I are laughing because we've always had a sense of humor, even in the most intense, you know, moments. And I think people probably have no clue that she's discussing
her funeral, or lack of her funeral.
She's like, and I don't want to be in a casket because I'm like getting the feeling as she's saying that, like she, because you're claustrophobic, and I'm like, done, all done. Never mind, you don't have to worry about any of this. So anyway, it was funny, and so here we are. I had no idea we'd be talking about death, and I just happened to have a conversation with my mother, and she brought it up. You know.
Hey, sweetie. Jay, Simon's hearing an echo from you, and he says it's actually kind of soothing. I don't hear it on my
end. Call back?
So, I'm thinking you should only because I as soothing as you are, I'd like you to be heard in just a simple dimension for the show. So yeah,
okay.
That would be awesome.
Okay.
I got your back. So you
call
back,
right
and
back.
I'll bring you
okay.
back in. Okay. Thank you, Simon. So, well, I do find it interesting, and I'll share this while Janine calls back. You know, me and Simon were talking today as well. And Simon, I don't want to share anything, you know, I'm not supposed to share. Wait a minute. Let's get her back. Okay. I can't be in the chat room and on the call part. So, but Simon was also going through something today that was, you know, symbolically a death. Because, and in my humble opinion, you know, you don't have to be 85 years old to be discussing these things. Okay, Jay's back on.
Hi there.
And, yeah, you should talk
for
a few.
I still hear the echo, I think. Oh, no, maybe not.
I never heard it to begin with, so.
But I'm hearing myself a little bit.
Are you?
Yeah, just a little. I think they probably are too. Then
I don't know, because I don't hear them at all. But I have the headsets on. Okay, where are we? Are we dead? No. Janine and Goldie died on the air tonight. Video at 11.
Wait, maybe I'm multiplying.
Well, Simon, you kind of got to let us know. Let us know if you hear the echo. I haven't heard it, so I'm a bad gauge. I'm not hearing it. So, yeah, it's still there.
Yes, it's there.
I hear the echo too. Oh, Golden Joe is here. Hey, sweetie. Janine,
all right,
say something.
So I'm going to go get another phone.
Okay, right on. There you go. And what I'm going to do is I'll start sharing my thing.
Sure.
Hold the phone until you have the other phone with you so you can at least hear what I'm sharing.
Okay.
And then let me know when you're calling. Actually, I'll just keep an eye on you. I'll see when you're calling back. But this way I can just... So we can.
Okay, I'll listen.
Right on. Okay. Just until she gets a new phone. Okay, so here's what I want to do tonight. I have had tremendous insights this week. There is no rhyme or reason to these insights, but what I had discussed with Janine right before we went on the air tonight was that what I would love to do is share the insight, and then she's going to share her wisdom from the inside, and anything you guys want to contribute from the chat room, if you guys want to call in, awesome. So, okay, so here's one of my, these are in no random, this is a random order, nothing's in any order. Okay, one of the insights that I got this week being in the woods, and it really hit home today, was the idea of the witness and who, what my thoughts are and how I experience my own reality when I'm in the witness. And what I noticed was, first of all, the witness perspective is so extraordinarily powerful. And here's the amazing thing about the witness. The witness, all it does is watch. It does not influence. It does not judge. It does not try to change. It literally is this genuine state of neutrality. And what I noticed about the witness is also, and this is a big noticing, the witness is always present. So there were these experiences that happened last Monday to today, and one of them was that I quit my job. I'm so excited that I quit my job. I can't even tell you. It was a tremendous relief for me. But this is what I noticed. Okay, so when I'm in my experiences, not as the witness, but when I'm actually in my experiences, I find myself, my thoughts are going towards, I need stability in my future. You know, it's like I found myself going, I got to get a job with a certain amount of hours so I have a certain amount of money, because that's what's going to provide me with safety and safety and security. And then I found myself in the woods, still without a job. But what I noticed when I was in the woods is my perception had gone into the witness. And what the witness, it's so funny because it clearly showed me this, not by telling me, but it was just becoming aware of the experience. The witness is only interested in the moment. Am I safe and secure right now? And then it hit me in only the way that a subtle truth can hit a person, was that every time I come into my experiences as the experience and start trying to plan my future, the fact that I'm going into my future makes it impossible to ever find safety and security there, because the future is in itself a mental concept. It's there's no such thing as future. There's only now. And I know this is Eckhart Tolle stuff, but I'm starting to truly understand this from my own personal perspective, that all I have to do is be safe and secure in my now, and whatever future date, if there ever is a future date where I'm supposed to have a, you know, 15 to 20 hour a week nanny job, well, if I stay in my present moment and I'm safe and secure, I'll know exactly in that moment what to do to land that 20-hour gig or 15-hour gig. There was just such a profundity of knowing that as long as I'm going to my future in my present moment to make things peaceful and calm, that alone can just never happen. The future does not contain peace and calmness. It can't, because the whole concept of future is a lie. There is no future. There is only right now. And what I got was that the witness never goes into the future. My personality goes into the future. My little self goes into the future. But the witness literally just goes, you know, look at the trees. You know, hey, check out those birds. You notice the birds around you? Now, and I have seen my witness also, like, I have certain spots in the forest where I go and I chill for a very long time. Oh, let me make sure. Okay, Janine, you're not on hold anymore, so talk anytime you need to, Jay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you definitely sound different. I have found that, I go to these spots in the woods. And there are times, you know, I've taken pictures that I set up like a little camp. You know, I've got, you know, sheets and, you know, pillows and little pads that I lay on, and plastic if the ground is wet to keep me dry. And I have totally felt like, you know, something will say, okay, sit up. And I'll sit up and, you know, 20 seconds later, a limb from a tree will fall to the ground. And if I was lying there, it would have missed me by inches, but because I sat up, it missed me by, you know, more inches. but I'll be honest with you, you know, and in that moment, I'll be like, you know, most people might go, okay, wow, you need to get the hell out of here. You know, trees could fall on your head. But see, the witness goes, okay, you're good. You're good. You know, I told you to get up. You listened, and, you know, the tree limb was nowhere near you. And it's like, personally, I personally enjoy knowing that, you know, on some level, if my time is up, then the now moment will tell me not to get up. And that's okay, too. Right. You know, like, let the tree limb come down. There's just, because there really is no fear in the now moment. And again, it's not just about the now moment. It is the entire dialogue and language of the witness. Because another powerful experience that happened this week, when I finally quit my job, there was such a flow of energy that just, I felt so relieved not to be with somebody that, in my humble opinion, was extremely unconscious. Extremely unconscious. I don't resonate with unconscious. I can be flexible. I can do things spontaneously. I can handle shifting on a dime, changing arrangements. But in a nutshell, all the changes she wanted me to accept was essentially she had all these dates planned for me to work, and she continually kept changing them, going, but you're not going to work. And, you know, for me, that was it was just I couldn't take it. It was getting heart pains, because it kind of came down to, she was promising me approximately $180 a week, and we would get down to it, it'd be $60 a week, And then on some weeks, you'd take that away from me, and it was no, I wasn't working at all. And I mean, I really just went, oh, screw this. I have, you know, I kept feeling I'm not loyal. I'm not loyal to her because it was clear to me she wasn't loyal to me. And we're going to talk about another insight I had is a very, very important insight about the belief systems of being a good girl and a bad girl and the belief systems of being a good boy and a bad boy. Because I had tremendous insights on that. And I'll apply that to my job in a minute. But right now we're just going to stay with just the notion of how the witness experiences things. Because the witness is the neutrality of, okay, so after I quit my job, Scott essentially the following day came up to me. We had a fight. Well, we didn't have a fight. He was mad at me, and he essentially, through an email, gave me a list of things that he was pissed off at me about. And these are things that are daily living with each other, leaving dishes in the sink. I don't even remember all of them. But here's what happened. My witness showed up when Scott gave me this email. Now, Scott has been a person who has definitely triggered me. We're basically, we know each other 5 years. Scott has been able to put me under the car, you know, under the house, under the bus. I mean, he has pretty much always been a trigger for me to feel abandoned, insecure, unloved, ugly, fat, you know, all of those things, that all those lovely things we all feel. But what happened this week, because I had worked through so much of my trigger through my job, that I truly believe that once I came through the trigger of letting go of the job, letting go of what I felt was security, even though it was so, it so obviously wasn't, because she kept taking the hours away from me. But once I worked through that organically by, you know, getting pissed off at her, allowing myself to be pissed off at her, quitting the job, allowing myself to quit the job, when Scott gave me that list of things that he was mad at me, I literally just looked at him and was like, I just answered, I'm sorry. I apologized for everything he was mad at me for. I mean, and not from a sense of placating him, but I swear to God, from the witness point of view, it was just this, listen, babe, I love you. I love you, and I'm, you know, it's been a bit of a rough few weeks for me, and I'm gonna, you know, clean up the dishes so your cats don't, you know, eat some of the food scraps and get sick, and I swear, I don't know why I got a mind fart. I can't remember the other things he said, but what everything he said, I took total responsibility for. I've never responded so unconditionally loving, you know, in my awareness to him ever like this. It was truly profound, because as soon as I did that, the next time I went to his house, it's something me and Janine had talked about before I even got there, that there was the whole thing just disintegrated. The whole anger disintegrated, and there was this just a level of communication that it was a sensory communication with Scott that we were okay. It didn't need to be talked about. It didn't need to not be talked about. It was kind of it's hard to explain it in words because it wasn't verbal, but it was. But it was genuinely experienced. I'm on the air. Shut the door, please. That's him. I can't really explain these things. I just know that going through the situation with my boss literally covered me in a way that was, it was just profound. And I just want to share with you some things that happened afterwards. First of all, my father had this situation, which I won't get into details because he's feeling very vulnerable from it. But my father got into a situation where he had to go to court because there was a potential he was going to lose his license for 3 to 6 months. So after I had lost the job, I was afraid my father was going to be really like, you know, like most fathers might be where, you know, you should keep the job until you find a new job, which I get that on paper. But I'll tell you, from my own personal experience, there was no way I was going to get another job dealing with the emotions that last job I was experiencing, you know, having hours pulled from me, you know, sometimes a few hours before a gig, sometimes a few days before a gig. I can't have that kind of frustration, anger, and resentment in me and then have, you know, the next job flow to me organically. You know, it's like there's no denying it. You got to deal with the now moment. The now moment is this woman is pissing me off the high holy hell, man. There's just no moving on from that. That's my experience of, because see, the witness sees it, and the witness doesn't know how to overlook things. The witness sees what's in front of you, and truly wants us to deal just with what's in front of us. It's so funny because it doesn't get any more simple than that. It doesn't get any more powerful than that. So I let go. You know, he says to me, he goes, I might need you to drive me around town, you know, because he swims, he goes to the grocery store, he does banking, you know, and it was like, and he goes, and I'll pay you to do it. And I was like, oh, son of a bitch. Like, okay, like how, it doesn't get better than that. It's like, clearly, he's okay that I'm not working right now. I mean, because if he needs the help, you know, the timing was exquisite. It was just one of those, it's what I told Janine, I go, you know, I never wish anything negative on anybody. But you have to look at timing and see there is an elegance to him needing my assistance and me not having responsibilities to be anywhere else being a good thing. That there's divinity in that, that in my humble opinion, you really don't have to dig deep to see that. It's pretty much, it's right there. It's an easy see. And now it ended up that my father didn't lose his license. And I'll tell you, in my humble opinion, my father's 78 years old. He has a girlfriend that lives 2.5 hours away from where we live. And it was during this commute that the situation happened. But for him to continue to convince a judge in a courtroom to not only not suspend his license, but not take it away. I mean, he's 78 years old. I'm going to myself, he's thinking he's getting suspended. He could lose it permanently. You know, he's definitely in the age bracket where, you know, it's easy enough to, you know, go, we don't want somebody 78 years old getting into accidents. You know, okay, this is the time. You're going to lose your license. Nothing like that happened to him. It's like, and me and Janine were talking, and, you know, you guys don't know my father all so well other than through me, but my father is, he's astute, he's very keen, his mind completely functioning, you know, he's got clarity, and that's not to say he doesn't have, you know, some forgetfulness, and holy, are you kidding me? I'm 47, I have forgetfulness. You know, we all are going through an ascension or the shifting and changing. So, but I really believe that it was the grace of who my father is. My father is a very considerate, generous person. He's a liberal. He looks out for the little guy. He has tons of charities, and he pays to help people go to college on his retirement. You know, there's just kindness to my dad. There really is. It's a genuine kindness to people, to animals. And it just felt like that, you know, I don't know if this is the truth or not. That's how it felt to me. But it felt that had something to do with him keeping his license, which, of course, then meant I was out of a job. You know, which totally didn't matter to me. you know, it was funny. He came home. He was in such a good mood. He threw me $100. He's like, this is your severance pay. And you're laid off. I mean, he was in such a good mood. I had just watched something on TV that was all about miracles. And in my humble opinion, we are entering a time right now. Miracles are not miracles. Miracles are a new understanding of science and a new understanding of truly the laws that we live in, because the laws that we live in today are very flexible and very much in need of us going through some deaths of old beliefs in order to utilize the true magic and experience the mystery that is so benevolent. The mystery is not about, you know, manipulation and deception. And I know that I say that only because the powers that be are being exposed. Everything's being exposed right now, and it's so funny because what they fear the most is the exposure, which is going to lead me to the next thing. But before I go into that, Janine, I want you to do you have something to share about the witness?
Yeah. Well, first of all, does anyone hear an echo? Because I'm on a landline, but I hear a little bit. But I can deal with it.
I don't hear it, so.
Okay. So,
Yeah, Jay, I don't think they. Oh, yeah. You're still echoing? She's still echoing?
And I'm on a landline.
Yes. Yeah, but it's okay.
Okay. All right. So, well, so much is going, you know, on as I'm listening to you, because the description of the witness seems so accurate to me. And I, what came to me, because I have other stories in how the witness sort of, you know, we become aware of our witness, but then the witness becomes a stronger presence in us, and that's the whole idea of becoming aware of the witness in the first place.
Okay.
But what I got was, when you were saying this, was that the witness knows right placement.
Yeah.
And the witness doesn't struggle with that placement. It just there's no judgment, there's no forcing. It just knows right placement, or as you know, I always use the word feel, but because feel and know sort of are the same for me.
Right. I believe that. I believe.
Right.
Yeah, indeed.
But it's funny because we started the conversation talking about death, which was surprising to me, and then me having had that talk with my mom today spontaneously. But recognizing that going through the discomfort over the years and letting go of those parts of ourselves that kind of overshadow the witness, because the more you become aware and the more you go through the discomfort and you sort of ride it out, because like I use that sailing term, steady as she goes, it's like stay with it, just stay with it, even though it's uncomfortable. And you know, we try to force things, we try to, you know, hang in there in a situation that actually isn't right placement, but we're trying to make it all work. We're trying to, you know, me trying to get my book where I think my book should go, and yet all of a sudden I have a realization, I only want to go where I'm welcome, the book is welcome, and where there's a presence of love. And so then I let go, and then it's like I sit back and the witness can see, you know, actually the magic occurring. But it's probably it feels like magic to us, but I love what you said when you said start getting used to, or start allowing the laws to no longer be what we thought they were, because what appears to be the miracle is actually just the norm, but the laws that we've been used to have made them seem like miracles. You know, so this is such a development thing to me, because I'm listening to you and I'm going, what amazing development on your part. You know, because your description of the witness was so accurate, and I only know that from my own experience as well. When you see your, when the witness is really doing its thing, and you're like feeling it, and then when you're in that struggle place. But see, the funny thing is the struggle place, as we talked about maybe 5 days ago, creates this state of grace, I think, and it creates a stronger, radiant body. And I think that the witness just is really taking its role and its presence. So, you know, so there you are, and you're like, look at this. This is amazing. You know, the witness is just allowing life to be, and that's present. That's being present. And so,
well, it's almost like the witness only says yes. But it's like, yes to what? Well, yes to quitting.
But the thing is, if we notice the whole process in itself, like that moment is that moment, but what preceded that moment was the discomfort and the struggle and, you know, and the weighing of it, and then you let go and you say, you know what, I'm not going to have a job, but then your dad is being amazing, and then your family that loves you so much, then new work shows up.
Exactly.
And you know, I'm just going into a place now where this Thursday I'm getting an award that was 2 years ago that I was involved in resuscitating a woman that I would look at it as though I was part of a miracle, but I'm saying, no, that was actually like This is the new laws, you know. This is not the miracle. This is the new way of seeing things. That this is possible. So, up until this moment, talking on the radio with you, I was going, wow, I was part of a miracle. But now I'm thinking, perhaps this is the norm now. You know. So, can you hear me echoing?
I don't hear you echoing.
I do.
Well, do you have your computer? You know what? Do me a favor. Shut your computer, because sometimes it's the computer related. As much as I want you in the chat room, if we can get rid of the echo by closing down the computer.
Okay.
You know, I got you on the telephone, and so we're good.
Yeah. I just closed it.
Okay. Let us know if that works, Simon, Dennis, who's ever listening.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I guess from my perspective, it's been a process of being uncomfortable, dying, being uncomfortable, dying, coming out, seeing the amazing synchronicity, and then you notice what amazing opportunity and possibilities come out of those places when we let go of the old paradigm of trying to, oh, I should have a job, or oh, I should have this book signing, or, and then I'm going, no, what are you doing? Why are you forcing something? You don't need to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I see you doing that with the jobs, you know, the jobs that aren't right places.
That aren't coming. Yeah.
Well, they're not resonating.
They're totally not right. And I'm laughing because you're absolutely right, because the one thing that I didn't finish on the air is that Sahana and Anya's mom, I'm working Wednesday, I'm working Friday, I'm working Saturday. Mom came home, didn't feel good. She goes, you might be working more. It's like, you know, all of a sudden I made myself available. And I'll tell you, this is what the witness showed me too, just with Anya and Sahana's family. The witness actually showed me that, well, see, two things happened to me this weekend. Friday, it was me, Sahana's mom's name is Wani, and Sahana. We were in the playroom. Anya was in her room with the piano teacher. And Wani said to me, she goes, well, you're family now. And I turned to her and I go, oh, yeah, why is that? Now, me and the girls, I've already drilled them. Listen, I'm your sister. Don't worry about blood. I'm your sister. You know, I was like, we're souls. We're soulmates and we're sisters. And, you know, and the girls and me, you know, it's funny because they'd be like, well, mommy says you have to have the same last name. And I'm like, no, we're sisters. Well, Wani said to me Friday, she goes, you're family because Sahana doesn't want anybody but you. I mean, we have all these other babysitters when you're not around, but the truth is, Sahana only wants you. And, of course, I started crying, going, I just want your kids, and I love your family. And, I mean, and I'm telling you, we've had electricity go out during storms. I've stayed at their house for a week. I mean, this family is so much more than just a job. I mean, they really are. They're my family. When I don't go to work, I go to another extended family, and I help out wherever I can. You know, I take care of the kids, but you know, I help clean up. I'm happy to do whatever I can for this family, and I've always felt a resonance. And today, I was telling Janine this earlier. Manu, who is the husband, his parents were up, and Wani was taking them to the airport. And so Sahana's and Anya's grandparents. And Sahana's grandfather, he's a Hindu, and I've had deep conversations with him from my spiritual perspective and his spiritual perspective. And it's amazing how much Hindu and shamans have in common. There's really quite an awareness of everything being conscious, including the wind, the water, animals. There's just a lot in common. And he said to me today, he goes, how you doing? And I was like, you know, I'm okay. And he looked at me and he goes, really, how you doing? And I went, well, you know, finances are a little rough. I said, but the truth is, as my finances aren't there, the love of my family is, and I'm getting choked up. Mm-hmm. And I go, and your family is part of that love. You know, there's just tremendous love.
Hey, Goldie.
Yeah.
You see where, like, the same thing that I came to about where you're so welcome, where you're so loved, where there is a welcoming, where there's love. It's like that's where the witness takes us, you know?
It is. It absolutely
right?
is.
I mean,
it
he's telling
right
you.
On.
You know?
He did. Well, I didn't get to that yet.
I'm sorry. But that was just so, it's just so, you know, synchronistic.
No, but it's exactly right because, yeah. You know, I'll wrap it up. Essentially what he said to me was, he says, you know, your spiritual beliefs, because I essentially said to him, I don't have a lot of money, but my love tank is definitely filled. And and you know what? I'm okay. That is, as long as, because personally, I couldn't live with lots of money and no love. I can easily live with not a lot of money and lots of love. I could not flip those two. You would not find me joyous with lots of money and no love. I would be a miserable son of a bitch if I didn't have love in my life. And he picked up on that and he was like, you know, there really, he goes, your spiritual beliefs and our spiritual beliefs are so congruent. He was like, he goes, I asked Anya if she wanted to come with us to when you know her mother drops us off at the airport, and when Anya said no, I want to stay here and play with Goldie, he basically said, I was so glad that she loves you so much. I was so glad that my granddaughter has such a loving presence in her life. And this is her, you know, Anya's grandfather, and her grandmother was sitting right next to him on the couch, you know, and it was like, so within 3 days, this beautiful family tells me how lucky they are to have me, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, and then Anya, and I walk upstairs with both of them downstairs, Anya and Sahana run to me, Goldie! You know, I mean, like, you know, this is, It is so beautiful to have this love that is the witness, exactly like Janine said. It really is the witness love, because it's like it came to me in the woods that I'm a piece of their family. I don't want to use their last name because I don't want to deprive their privacy, but I am a piece of this family that when my energy is not there, the family does not function as well as when my energy is in there, as well as I don't function as well when I can feel it. There's a puzzle here that I fit. I mean, because they love me genuinely. I love them genuinely. They can afford to pay me. I don't do it for the money. Not by any. I mean, when life treats me well, when my father passes, I will have a nice little trust fund that my father has worked his entire life to give me and my brother. I will still very much be a part of those girls' lives, paid or not. They just like Alana is one of my best friends. I mean, I've had her since she was seven. These kids and this family is, you know, they really are. They're very much a part of my life. And exactly like Janine said, is the truth. If we follow the witness now, and the thing is, you can't fake this witness because. Okay, we're going to go to the next insight because I'm finding ironically they really do kind of tap into each other. And nature is, and for me it's the trees. I can't speak about the desert or the beach because I don't do the desert or the beach. But I'm not saying it doesn't happen there. So I can only speak for the forest with the trees and and all that goes on in a forest. But when I go to the forest is literally opening me up to my peripheral senses. And the peripheral senses are awareness, intuition, discernment. It is essentially the qualities of the witness. That's what the forest does. Mm-hmm. It just untangles all the knots. It repairs all the leaks that are within our energetic field. Now, it's important to what's that word? It's important to, when I leave the forest, that my actions continue to support the witness in order for the witness to continue to support me outside the forest. Because, like, there are actions, and this is kind of, okay, so my segue is that nature really does effortlessly just put yourself in nature. You do not need to do anything of breathing differently. You don't need to... there's no mental programs, no mental constructs. There's nothing you have to build. There's nothing you have to bring in from outside of you. That nature just knows how to get behind our walls and open us up. And what I got so clearly is one of the biggest blocks that most people have right now is the whole idea of being a good girl or a good boy. And because it totally started unfolding for me how this belief system of being a good girl or a good boy is about. I was watching the show Once Upon a Time. It's essentially, I guess, some new show that it's only one. The second season is coming out now, but on Netflix they had the first season. Essentially, it's a story of all the storybook characters, Cinderella, Snow White, all your basic, I guess, essentially Disney characters. I don't know if this thing is made by Disney or not. But all these characters, how they've kind of been cursed to live in a world without magic, as well as, essentially, their lives are purposely not going to work for them. If they love, then they're not allowed to have the love. You know, Prince Charming and Cinderella couldn't get together because they've been cursed. So everything that they love and adore goes against them. And when I was watching this series, there was this concept that kept sticking out at me like a thorn in my foot. And the concept was, as they started awakening, there were certain characters in the storyline that start out awake, and that their goal is to try and awaken other characters to help Snow White remember who Prince Charming is so they can get back together. But one of the concepts that kept standing out for me was, they kept saying, how can good beat bad when good has to play fair? And, you know, you guys all know, I mean, I'm the poster child for the dark side. And I kept looking at that going, why is that? Why? Because they kept going, good's going to win. Good always wins. And I'm going to myself, you know, there's great, like George Kavassalis' work is so beautiful because George Kavassalis has shown us the deception of what he terms the artificial light. You know, the artificial light is these love and lighters that don't acknowledge the shadow at all, you know, and it's like they're it's what he calls a sophisticated, it's religion, but more sophisticated. So, you know, the artificial light has us calling in Saint Germain and the violet flame, you know, to clear our energy, as opposed to telling our own violet flame. We don't need Saint Germain's violet flame to clear our energy. If you want to clear your energy using the color violet, well, call it in from yourself. It's like everything exists within us. So the artificial is always telling us, go outside of you, go outside of you. You need help. You need help. You're not quite as strong as you think you are. And when I started putting these things together, it's like it started hitting me that the dark, and when I say the dark, I'm talking about the dark powers that be that have manipulated us for 6,000 years to be at a space where we have been denied love. You know, we have been manipulated in every way, from food, you know, to the media, to chemtrails, you name it, the manipulation's happening. All of that is what it is, but they are relying on us being afraid to do dark actions. And it started hitting me that there's a false light, but there's also a powerfully good dark. And when I watched that video of the hackers that are totally causing havoc in the government and corporations, the anonymous hackers, I posted the video on my Facebook page. It started showing me, you know, there's a balance. See, if right now our government is basically being run by, total psychopaths, to be defiant from a psychopath is what I would call dark good. And it started hitting me about this whole idea of being balanced. And it was like, you know, people are afraid. I see it all the time. They're afraid to quit their jobs. And here I'm going to get into this now from a specific truth that I went through. Okay, so when you're a nanny, it's customary and it's good protocol that you give 2 to 4 weeks before you quit a job, because so the family can find a new nanny. Well, here I have a situation where my boss, you know, 2 weeks in a row was taking my work away from me, and prior to that had made a promise to me for working 3 days a week, and that fell through. It was like everything my boss was saying, here it is typically when you're dealing with people unconsciously. Their words will say one thing and their actions will say another. Her words kept saying to me, yes, yes, we want you, we want you. Her actions kept going, but we're taking jobs away from you. I mean, she kept promising me one thing and then delivering something completely different. In fact, borderline me not working there, like barely at all. So when it came time to quit, it was like, you know, I thought about this. I was speaking with Janine on the phone just moments before I made the call. And I decided, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to quit. And, you know, in all honesty, I'm not going to give her the 2 weeks. I'm going to quit on the spot. And, you know, knowing damn well I was pretty much fucking her because she's a nurse. You know, because when I said to her, listen, this is not working for me, she was like, okay. she's like, I told you I needed you to be flexible. And it's so funny because flexible, I've discussed this word with several people, and flexible can mean you promise me a Wednesday, but you need me to work on Thursday. Or flexible could mean I've got this many hours for you, but I need you to work this many more. Her flexible was always, I promise you work, but you're never going to get that hours. It's always going to be less, if any. I mean, I had a week where I had no work, and there were several weeks coming up in November and December where there was going to be no work. So her flexible was really about, I'm promising you work and you're not getting it. That was the consistency of her flexibility. And so I was like, well, what better way to teach her what her flexible looks like than literally giving her, you know, all right, you know, she said to me, are you, you know, all right, she goes, I told you needed to be flexible. And I was like, no, you didn't. I go, you just keep changing the rules. And they all come down to, I go, I can't afford to work for you. I can't pay my bills as long as I'm not coming in and you're not paying me. This is not going to work. And she said to me, she goes, are you coming in today? And I went, no. And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, you know what? And I said her name. I went, I'm done. I quit. Goodbye. Now, when I first did that, I can tell you, I could feel in my body the good girl paradigm going, what did you do, Goldie? Like, and then later on in the day, I had listened to a channeling because synchronicities are following me everywhere. Mm-hmm. And Robert Young had said within like the first 30 seconds of this one, it's kind of a channeling, but not really. He had said, when you're dealing with people who say one thing but do another, he clearly made it, he was like, the world of play is the world of where the drama is, where we are our feelings. In other words, the world of play is, the witness is not in the world of play. The witness is in the world of synchronicity, what comes around goes around. Because, you know, I truly did feel in my heart, the best way to teach my boss, for at least the next nanny that ends up working for her, is if you want to keep the nanny and have loyalty, you cannot promise them one thing and then, at the very least, if you want to promise somebody 30 hours, but you have to give them 35, somehow I think that people will deal with that much better than if you promise them, you know, 15 hours and you only give them zero, you know, like, or five. It's just not going to work. You're not going to find good help. Better yet, you're not going to keep good help. So without saying a word, I really did know that the impact of me quitting on the spot was ultimately her teacher, but it was a way of teaching that, you know, it's done very much with it's the hard knocks in life. I mean, for the past 3 months, 3.5 months, she's been hard knocking me with stay loyal, stay loyal, stay loyal. And finally it was like, I'm not loyal. I need to be in alignment with who I am. That's when I decided I was going to quit. And once I was going to be quitting, there's no quitting and giving her 2 weeks. I mean, the bad girl of Goldie was definitely up in front and center going, no, you don't get the gift of the 2 week notice. You don't get that because you didn't deserve that. In all honesty, I realize as I'm saying this, I'm not trying to convince you guys. I'm just telling you the processes that I went through. And in all honesty, I don't really care what's going on with her and whether she found work, didn't find work, could go to work. I don't know. I don't care. But I do know that my life has improved dramatically since doing that. And I do know that that same day when Robert Young said in the channeling, if – The one thing he said that really stood out again for me was, the witness is not going to join you in the playroom. You have to leave the playroom and the door is open in the big house of the witness. But if you're going to choose to be in the playroom, which is all the drama, don't keep inviting, you know, it's so funny, what is the witness? Most people would look at that and say it's the creator, it's God, you know, it's your guardian spirit, pick a term. It doesn't even mean that. No, I don't mean to shut you up. I wish you're excited. I didn't even read that, Simon. I'm not going to stop. Well, first of all, he
was talking to Dennis.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me. Right. Oh, okay. It's all good. Well, I was going to say part of this is because if you're echoing, I have all this to say anyway, so that's part of why I'm rambling.
Sure.
Okay.
No, you're not rambling, though.
But I
have, you know, there is something here, though. The witness doesn't play by the rules that, you know, of etiquette or what you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
You know,
that's an important part.
The paradigm of the good girl, bad girl, or what you're supposed to live or how you're supposed to live truly is a prison, and it's not authentic. And, Angela Sarian tells this great story that it was years ago that I heard it, but I always remembered. It's very simple, and it comes from either Africa or the Middle East or somewhere. I don't know, but I'm going to just make up the name of this man who, you know, it was probably his higher self asking him, like, Ishmael, were you yourself in your life? And he goes, I lived how I should have been. I did all the good things. And he goes, no, that's not what I'm asking. Were you true to yourself? Did you, like, no regard for what you were supposed to do or what other people thought you should do or the etiquette. It was what, were you true to yourself even despite what other people or yourself thinks you were supposed to do? And so that is the witness. The witness lives, you know, true to the moment. Because the truth is, going to work would have been false for you. It wasn't correct. It wasn't
right.
And so
right.
It doesn't
really
matter.
Going
what
to work
other people,
that day, what Janine is talking about is I could have gone to work that day.
Right.
She said, are you coming in? It was like, you know, and I get it. It's like this whole battle has been about her cutting off my hours. But, you know, the truth was, once I quit in my mind, and me and Janine were cracking up later on after I called her after the conversation. It's like, you're going to leave your child with me after, you know, I kind of just ripped you a new butthole. And you're going to leave your child with me?
Well, that's more of the unconscious. But
that's exactly what it is.
Right. But the thing is, you know, it's not even about. I know you said I'm not trying to convince anybody, and I know that because.
Well, that was a big piece for me, though. That was a big piece for me.
Right, but no, I'm just saying that. In looking at the witness, the witness doesn't operate like that. You know, it's just the witness does right placement. The witness can even ruffle the waters, the feathers.
Well,
you know,
exactly.
It can be. You know, say me saying I've had enough of my marriage was me. I became the bad guy because I could have just kept this, you know, everything fine. No, I said no, enough is enough. And so I broke the good girl thing, or I'm the, you know, or I'm the faithful girl, or I'm the, but you made a vow, and it's like to, you know, to take the crap or not. And it's like over, you know, and it didn't matter if I had to take a lot of heat for my decision or, you know, it just didn't matter. You know,
it does, you know, the heat part, because there will be heat for these choices, you know, it's part of the building of our own character and our own strength and our own, the word that came for me today was fortitude.
But, even I was questioned even by my youngest son, who I know it was difficult for him, and I said, I made a decision that I would make again because it was the right decision. And actually, by me making the right decision for myself, it ultimately will affect you that it's the right decision because you'll see that. You know, and I had to stand behind that. And believe me, I was one of those people that did not want to ruffle the waters or the feathers or the apple cart. But, you know, therein lies the strength. Therein lies some kind of courage and you just do it, you know,
you can't live. I, you know, it was so funny because the week before when she had taken the one day a week that I had there away.
Yeah.
I mean, we spoke of this last week. I mean, I was burning, you know, my infinite trust wood, at my girlfriend's house, and the fire actually responded to my anger. Because, you know, that's another thing. There are, I really do see so many of the New Age beliefs setting it out there, you know, change your thoughts, change your life. And they, that's the sophistication of going, see, if we express our anger, what does that mean? That, you know, that means I've just created that somebody's going to show up at a red light, roll their window down, you know, and plug a few caps in my head, you know, because... And I, the reason why I say that is because when she took that the hours away from me the week before, and I was expressing anger and said, "Okay, I need to let this out," I was so pissed off, man. I just couldn't contain myself. There was no longer I couldn't stuff it. And that's why I said, "Okay, I need to do this on some sort of ceremony. I need to direct this into something that I know can handle the power of my anger," and that was the fire. You know, I directed it literally towards the fire, and at one point, the wood was smoldering, and I heard it. I literally heard the witness go, "You're not done. Release it." And I just started yelling at the fire about how pissed off I was for not being able to make my money last week, and the piece of wood went from smoke, it ignited again. And I swear to God, as soon as that happened, I was like, wow. Like, check out
the energy. That could be like transmutation, like literally being, you know, being witnessed, or, you know.
It was. Because at that point, I was no longer interested in being angry. I was like, wow. I mean, I'm done. I'm like a little kid going, look at that. I mean, so, but I want to give another example, too, because, again, that's part of the good girl and the bad girl and the good boy and the bad boy. We are being told by certain beliefs and philosophies are saying your thoughts create your world. And there is this, like, underlying guilt or fear about expressing ourselves when we're angry, whether it's a little bit angry or, you know, pissed off the whole high helly water anger. It is really, really, really important to express ourselves. Now, again, see, that's part of where when Scott made that list for me, I wasn't expressing it, Scott, because this isn't about expressing it with the people we love. This is about understanding anger as energy and how to release energy so that it works for you and not against you. That's, and I'm telling you, when you follow the witness, because it was the witness that said to me, my own witness, you know, burn. It's time to burn infinite trust. Because I needed to experience a new level of infinite trust. And that infinite trust was, I need to quit this job and be okay with it. And that is ultimately where the following week when she called me, or she sent me an email 20 minutes before we went on the show last week and goes, you know, we got a doctor's appointment for the baby. We don't need you on Thursday. I mean, it was like, I didn't go back into the rage, but I went into a place that said, okay, this needs to stop. I mean, like, this is disrespectful, unprofessional, and just downright wrong. This is just wrong.
I think those are such great noticings, though, because, you know, over the years that you've known me, you've heard me talk about different situations, even with my work, the books, of where you're not met with this professionalism or respect or a welcoming or a mutual, and you know, you can immediately sense it, and from my perspective at that point, I go, this is wrong placement, you know, and perhaps I even got myself there. I mean, it doesn't matter, like, I'm not really weighing that one too much, like, well, how did this happen? It's more,
oh, neither am I.
Right,
no, exactly.
No, but I'm saying
right.
That for myself. It's like, I don't overthink it. All I know is what it doesn't. If I just feel it, you're like, wait a minute, this is not.
It's time to get out. It's just time to leave.
It's not right placement.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, and for, and so you just, and I did. I was like, in a book signing, I just went up to the woman because they moved me all over the place. They weren't prepared. They just talked to me in a way that was like, really? And I just went, you know, this isn't working for me, so I'm going to leave. And they went, what? And I went, yeah, it's okay. I'm just, but this isn't working. And I just left. And it was like, I felt so right in what my actions, rather than going, oh, Janine, come on, just stay another hour. You can do it.
Right, the etiquette thing, right? This thing was supposed to fit into this.
And I'm telling you, that was really big for me. When something's not working, you end it. And it's like, you know, it's a big step, and I think the witness is going, yes. You know?
Yeah, no, the witness loves it. Absolutely. The witness loves it. Because, and like I said, when I got to later on in the day when I heard the Robert Young within, you know, the first 3 minutes say, you know, oh, you know, when people are saying one thing and doing another, and then inevitably he was saying, that's the game, and stop calling in, you know, the presence of who you are to join you in the game. The presence will not join you in the game. You have to leave the game anytime you want and then join presence in the big house. See, it's not about presence coming in to fix our fuck-ups.
No,
man.
No.
It's not. It's about us having the fortitude to go, oh, this doesn't work. Let me get the hell out. And then all of a sudden presence is, you're in the big house and new experiences or old ones reshaping themselves or however it is divinely supposed to work.
Well,
I think that
when you become very aware at that point, the more you do this, the more you act in the moment on what feels right and what doesn't and what is right place and what isn't. The synchronicities just really are there. I mean, it's momentum, you know. And
it is momentum.
Because
I mean, I am so synchronistic literally right now in my life. Everything I'm hearing is coupled with something else that it's not that I'm hearing. I remember I used to get excited when two channelers would say two of the same principles, and I'd go, Oh, look, they've overlapped, you know, they've both said the same thing. This is going back a few years, but I'd be like, look, they both said the same thing. So I would look at it like a crossroads and go, I'm sure there's some truth to that, right? Because, in other words, I was letting the channelers point my way for me. Now my synchronicities are, I'm experiencing these things like today.
Well, your language tonight very much demonstrates that.
So then I'm not even going to point that out. Okay,
no,
right.
No, but your awarenesses are really good. Like they're so on target with, you know, the process of the witness, and it just is. I mean, I'm listening, going, wow, this is good stuff.
It feels good too. It feels okay. So, but I got to share another story because the stories are there. I just find them. They're like they can be more powerful than a lecture. Nobody wants to be lectured. You know, it's like okay. Me and Scott go to his godfather's birthday yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the funny part about it is me and Scott get invited to these parties over his cousin's house all the time. And 4 out of 6, we don't make. It's a social issue. We got social issues. And we, you know, but yesterday, for some reason, I really made a stink with Scott going, we're going. He was like, hey, how about if I pay you to take my mother to the party? I go, listen, babe, I need money, but that is not what this is about. You've got to come with me. I'm not going without you. And I was like, God damn it, I want to go. So let's do this. So we go.
Funny.
And I want to share with you a story, and then I'll tell you the relevance of the story. So it ends up that there's a lot of it. This was his godfather's 60th birthday. And so this was not just family. This was a pretty big party. There were people just kept coming in and coming in, and I laughed going, I looked at Scott and go, I have no idea why I was so hell-bent on us being here today, but clearly we needed to be here, so we're here. So this couple that Scott knew introduces themselves, and this woman tells a story, and I'll tell the story briefly. This woman had a house that she sold to her daughter and son-in-law. But before they could move into the house or get the mortgage, they all lived together. They all lived together in the house. Then they get the mortgage, and the parents of this daughter buy a condo. So the parents finally move out to the condo, and I guess within days of them moving into the condo, this huge storm that wiped out all the electricity in the neighborhood, including the children's home, but not the parents' condo. So what happens is it takes like 2 or 2.5 weeks for the electricity to come back. This happened a few years ago. The kids then moved into the condo. So, like, for this unprecedented amount of time, they ended up all living together. And what struck me so profoundly was as this woman told this story, at the end she goes, you know, it was really a profound experience because we learned how to be together and how to be each other's friends, and we're still okay with each other, even though my husband told the kids, listen, after all this, you know, we're good until, you know, next Christmas. We don't have to see each other again until next Christmas. You know, she made the joke, but, you know, my antenna was totally up the way she described how it was not just about, you know, cotton candy and butterflies, that when they were living together and going through challenges such as electricity is going out or mortgages not being had, that they really were very conscious and they worked together in staying friends and that they were still friends. You know, we all know family is blood, but that doesn't mean we all like family. In fact, I don't have much blood family that I even speak to anymore. So it was very poignant. I really picked up on that. Now here's where you're going to love this. This is where it becomes a Goldie story. So Scott goes, you know, I think my mom would really like to see these people. So come on, let's go back to my mom's house and tell her they're here so she'll come back to the party with us. So we go to their house, to his mom's house, which is right next door. And again, to make a long story short, Scott's mother tells us the story that this woman that I was speaking to years ago broke up this man's family. This woman was the other woman. And so Jeannie, who's Scott's mom, she's telling me all this, you know, going, a lot of people didn't want to speak to her. You know, she was pretty much ostracized, you know, and I'm just kind of standing there going, she made a wonderful impression on me. I was like, I really liked what she said. And then, you know, I could tell Jeannie on some level was looking for me to confirm that, you know, this woman was a home wrecker and what a bitch. And, you know,
right.
And I looked at Jeannie and I go, Jeannie, I really have nothing to say. I go, I've done the exact same thing.
Right.
And Jeannie looked at me. She goes, I was like, you know, me and Greg was married when I met him. And he had small children, and he left his family to be with me. And Jeannie goes, but you didn't marry him. And I go, I don't marry any of them. And that doesn't mean that I didn't break up the family. I was like, I did break up the family. You know, and I can tell, and Jeannie loves me. She does. She adores me. So it was something for her to think about. But what I took from that was, you know, son of a bitch, the woman really understood relating. Because she had gone through a situation where she had been ostracized. Because I said to Jeannie, one of the last things I said before we went back over to the cousin's house, I go, you really can't control who you fall in love with.
It
just happens. It just happens. And doesn't mean it doesn't cause chaos. But, you know, this idea that we can control it that's nonsense. We can't. You know, if it's in our journey, you know, to be with married people who are going to leave their spouses or not leave their spouse, whatever, you know, then it's in our journey. And that's, but what I noticed was, I swear, I wanted to say to her when we went back to the party, hey, sister, homebreaker. I kept going to Scott going, can I tell her, I got your back, babe. I got your back. He goes, no, don't say that, girl. I was like, no, I'm just joking. But that's what I was thinking. when I was speaking to her, because see, that's the bad girl. You gotta break the rules sometimes. You gotta break the rules, and all you artists out there, try painting without using the darker colors to make shadows.
Right.
And tell me how your pictures look when you don't make shadows in the pictures. They're flat and they're lifeless. You know, the shadows are a part of our experience, and they're. I really was excited to share that story because I immediately felt a resonance with this woman. Of course, had no idea why, and then when Jeannie told me, I just went, you know, right on. And I know, you know, you guys who are married are going, hey, you know, Goldie's a bitch. And you know what? Okay. I just speak it the way I lived it. And I want, you know, people to know that I can almost guarantee you on some level, somewhere in your soul is going to bring you the opportunity if it hasn't already. Thank you, Golden. If it hasn't already, that you're going to have to do the bad girl or bad boy decision in order to be in alignment with your soul.
Yeah.
I can almost promise you that's coming. Go ahead, Jeanine.
No, well, I think that's what that story that Angela told, which was an old story, but it was have you lived your life true to yourself, not what, you know, and then his answer was, well, I did everything you're supposed to do, and I did it right, and then it's no, that's not the question. Were you true to yourself, despite you may not make the decisions that everybody goes, oh, that was really the right thing to do. It's like, is it the true thing for yourself? And I think that is a much different way of living. Than opposed to, you know, and by the way, it's a funny thing. You're right that if we live the life we think we're supposed to live and do all the right things, the soul pulls in situations where all that changes.
Exactly. Right.
And you find yourself in these situations that you were pointing the finger at others going, and now it's you, and you're like, oh,
exactly.
I see how life is. So there you are finding yourself where you were saying to someone else, just like Scott's mom, you know, she if it was in the card, she may have found herself being that woman too, you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's a. I guess,
well,
you know, the thing for me is how you so incredibly hit on the experience of the witness, and this. That seems to be, to me, what keeps coming through all in all your stories and all my stories, you know, the decisions I made in my life.
Exactly. Yes.
What was true for ourselves. Not, you know, the good or the good girl deal or the, this is what, you know, my family wants me to do, or this is what, you know, I read in a book, this is what you're supposed to do. It's not at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's the rule breaker a lot, you know. It's the not. Oh, what was that great line that I said? Bob Dylan wrote that. The criminal, to be a criminal, you have to be honest or something like. Or no.
Yeah.
To live
you have
outside
to go
the rules,
outside the box. There
to
you
break
go.
The rules. You have to be honest, and honestly, that's with yourself. So Dylan said something, it just struck me so, you know, of course, when he was really tapped into a creative process when he wrote some of those extraordinary things. Oh, someone said I love Jay's Echo.
Simon, I know. Listen, next week I will call you. We'll be on one line. We'll make
Simon,
do.
Simon, I could be in the cave somewhere, you know, with all those beautiful ancient etchings on it, but with Werner Herzog.
You know, but I it's so important. I mean, I do want to make sure that is everybody. Can you hear her? At least are you? You know, is it tangible? Okay.
I'm in the cave.
Really? Don't. She's in the bathroom and it's echoing. You know, around here, we're mystics right here. You know, we don't go to the cave anymore. We're mystics everywhere. everyday mystics living here in our bathroom.
I want to be in the cave. With all the facts.
Okay, now wait a minute. I have more.
Keep going.
All right. The forest and nature. Oh, tracking. Me and Janine talked about this. I really want to talk about this just to, and again, you know, we'll pick up on these things and we'll talk more about this. Okay, this idea, me and Janine have been talking. It's so funny because we put a name to it, but it's something that we've been doing, and I highly recommend everybody do this. And it's tracking ourselves. And what do me and Janine mean when I say that we're tracking ourselves? Tracking ourselves is when it's essentially what you're doing is you're in your self reflection. You're not, see, again, it seems that you can only really truly track yourself in the witness because you're not judging yourself where you are. Mm-hmm. You're just simply noticing. Like I had such a clear noticing the other day when I drove up to Hawk Rock, and I walked all the way into Hawk Rock, and you know, I had some anxiety about it, some stress, but in my own tracking of myself, you know, I watched myself and said, there was a day that not only would I not go to Hawk Rock, a 45-minute, you know, relatively difficult hike in and out alone, excuse me, there was a day I would have never gone to Hawk Rock. I would have never made the drive alone. You know, I started just taking note of how many belief systems I've shifted, where I am today in honest self-reflection. And it was interesting because one thing about the witness that I've noticed is the witness, when I'm in the witness, I stand back. And like if I'm on the computer and the witness comes through, I'll start clicking on things, but I don't think about what I'm doing from the point of view of like, why would you want to click on that web page? It's just I get a sensation that I'm, but my body is on. I think it might be how channelers feel. I don't know, but it's like where you actually remove your own personality, you get out of your own way, and there is some sort of presence that takes me places. I've experienced this on several occasions in my life, and just recently I experienced it where it took me to a archive of another reality show that happened on March 1st, 2008. And it was so wonderfully interesting. I was telling Janine this briefly before we came on the show tonight. It was a show where I was still at WARL, terrestrial radio. I was I had commercial breaks and sponsors, and I had a guest that day that didn't show up. I was only doing the show for an hour at that time, and so I did a monologue, and it was an interesting show because it was a snowstorm that was really bad. In fact, I didn't even think I was going to go live that day because I didn't think my engineer was going to be able to make it to the studio in Rhode Island, but he did. And then my guest, who was a guest from Australia, not George Kavassalis, another gentleman, he never called in. So I essentially did the whole show just talking. And here's what the tracking that I'm referring to. I listened to the whole show because I was drawn to listen to. I got to the show and went, okay, Goldie's going to listen to one of her shows. Now, I can tell you that the norm is I don't listen to my shows. They play, and I don't listen to them. In fact, when we did the roundtable just recently, Janine and George and Cynthia, that day that I had to replay it because I didn't do it live. I did a pre-tape, and then I had to put it on to Blog Talk Radio. The day I listened to the 2 days in a row that I played the shows, my gut was so in knots, and I was like, oh my God, I just hate listening to myself. I was in quite a, I'm telling you, it's like I was making myself nauseous listening to myself, and I just, you know, you put it out there, and then I was just so glad when the show was finally over, and it, you know, it went well. I actually had a friend of mine on the phone with me, you know, because I just kept popping in to make sure the sound was good and nothing clicked off. But yesterday, when I listened to a show from 4 years ago, which I thoroughly expected myself to cringe and be tight about, I found myself in such a loving space that I was smiling, going, oh, listen to you, Goldie. You know, I was clearly in my head. It was very obvious to me. But it was almost like I looked upon myself like I look at the kids, you know, going, you were so cute back then, Goldie. You know, you had the right idea, but you really didn't know what the hell you were talking about from an experience point of view. You were just in your head. And the tracking that I'm referencing now is, oh, my God, I was able to genuinely feel love for myself. Mm-hmm. And, like, isn't that the whole point? You know, why are we doing all this integrating? We're not doing integration, you know, to be the hero saying, I've sucked up more dark energy than you have. I mean, that's not the point of this. The point of this is to find a balance within ourselves, a center point, so that when, you know, the zero point happens on Mother Earth, we get birthed right alongside with her. That's my reason for doing the integration. But the tracking of ourselves, if you guys have journals or pictures, you know, of course, for me, I have a radio show that my journal is, you know, the radio show. But you don't need to have a radio show. However you can, I really invite you guys to go back and look at, see how far you've come. I think we underestimate truly how much work we've done and how much growing we've done, how much integrating we've done. I mean, you know, and most of my integration didn't take place about a year ago. I mean, I had all the right intentions. I just wasn't doing the work until a year ago. But again, you know, to see the difference now in just how I responded to myself, there was something very, there was pricelessness in that. And again, it was the witness that got me there. Because, you know, I was watching myself click on anotherrealityshow.com, click on the shows, I mean, it was almost like, I swear, the witness took me specifically to the show that I did a monologue. I honestly did not know consciously this show, the guest didn't show up. I didn't. I just went to it. And, you know, it's not like we don't have you can stop yourself. You can stop the witness from giving you your own gifts. But, oh, my goodness, when you don't stop the witness and you start learning to trust the witness. Trust it when it tells you to quit without notice. Trust it when it tells you to click on shows. Trust it when it tells you to walk out of a family situation. Trust it when it tells you to walk into a family situation. You know, there's no right or wrong. That, like, Anya said something to me very interesting today. She said they were doing something and it had to do with candy or something, and I was like, you know, that's fine. You guys can eat the candy. And she goes, you always say yes. And I go, I say yes, but not always. And she's like, well, what do you mean? And I go, I just follow the moment. If the moment it feels okay that you guys can have candy, that's fine. But, you know, if the moment says no, I'm going to say no. You know, it's like I tried to really instill in her, it's like, there's no right answer every single time for every situation because, see, that's not the witness. That's a program. Mm-hmm. The witness, you can say yes on one day and the exact same situation might come up the following day and you say no. And you got to be able to trust it in yourself to say that, to be, remember, the whole idea is if we're in the game, in the playroom, as Robert Young put it, there's drama. In the big house, there is no drama, but there are no rules. The only rule is you let your intuition or you let your peripheral sensations, like that's what I mean, I'm becoming so keenly aware that my peripheral awareness is opening up, where I can see things behind me, not because with my eyes, obviously. I can see them because it's sensations of energy, and I can see it through the sound, through the smell, through hearing, because those senses are no longer just in my head. In nature, it's becoming my cells can hear, and my cells can feel, and my cells can see. And it is a sense, and it is beyond the five senses, because it's a whole body experience. And nature absolutely supports that. When I was listening to Adamus yesterday in the Crimson Circle monthly message, there was a lot of things going on in that shout yesterday that just did not feel right to me. But one of the things that I got, and the witness gave it to me, was I wasn't feeling right about it, but I didn't. I didn't leave. It was like, you know, oh, stay, Goldie. I could feel myself going, oh, just stay. He's going to say something that's going to make it better. And what it ended up happening was, he said one thing. He was talking about disconnecting from our spirit, which was, I could understand that, you know, because on some level people need to disconnect from the God that they believe is outside of themselves. So disconnecting from spirit and God in that perception makes sense to me. Even though when he was saying it, my gut was telling me that's not what he means. And this is the witness going, this is not resonating. Then his words came out and he said, we are born from an entity. And I swear to God, as soon as he said that, it was like, boom, and I went, born from an entity, eh? You're on the other side in the spirit world, and you don't know we're infinite? Because, right, my friends, infinite beings are not born from anything, nothing. The whole being born and dying, that's part of the temporary processing. That is not part of what happens to us when we're on the other side in spirit. And any entity telling you that you're born from a creator, or you're born from a god, or you're born from an angelic being, that is a trap. You are not born. You always are. You always were. And I'm not telling you this because I hope this is true. I don't know where it's come from, but I know this to be true. I mean, I know I'm infinite. And as soon as he said that, what was so interesting is very shortly after, once I got the boom, okay, you know, this is a trap. It was so funny. I didn't even need to leave. Then, a few minutes later, he starts talking about inviting everybody to go with him into the astral plane on Halloween. And I swear to God, my body went into... Not me. Goldie will not be on that phone call. Go, you, because the astral plane on Halloween, I know this from shaman work, the veil is very thin, and the astral plane is truly the plane of manipulation of the false gods and the false beings that create these worlds, but it's all just a world within the fourth dimension. It's not the 25th dimension as they're claiming it. It's the fourth dimension with 25 dimensions in it. It's all bullshit, and I'm happy to explain this to anybody, you know, privately if they want, you know, if they care to hear what I have to share. But it was just so amazing because first came the first line that, like I said, see, the witness just immediately knew. I went, he's artificial. He's talking about an artificial timeline. The organic timeline is simply nothing above me, nothing below me. I'm infinite. Now, I get it. In the human arena, the temporary arena of my physical body, you know, somebody can walk up to a gun and end my experience here from the physical level only. But when an entity is telling me that I'm born from something on the other side, it's like, it's so clear to me, well, you're clearly not in the organic arena, because the organic arena, nothing's born.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the beauty of, I didn't quite, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Oh, it's such a good feeling when there's no doubt. It's such, I'm telling you, it's like a rushing river moving through you, going, you know, and it's like, I know, isn't that fabulous? Even though what I know is now I have to let go of, you know, these channelers that I've basically been following for the last 10 years. It's like, aw, you know, there's a little bit of sadness in that, but the truth is, because I didn't feel right anyways. The clarity just became so clear.
Yeah. I was thinking that, as you're talking, I'm getting all these thoughts or realizations, or even clarifications of, as you were telling the story of listening to yourself from four years ago.
Oh, okay, okay.
What I was getting was, and the tracking and the witness was, I was going, okay, because you said something about the loving, you know, the loving part of yourself, and I'm thinking, feels like the witness is the loving presence of ourselves who, you know, really shows up and has no interest in judgment at all. But what's really cool about tracking is, like, let's just play another scenario that you were, just for an example of tracking, would be, if you were listening to yourself, and the tracking in this case was, oh, look at that, Goldie. You're fine with it. This isn't, you know, you're enjoying listening to yourself. You're seeing yourself, you know, as who you were 4 years ago. And that in itself was joyful, and you noticed your progress. But even in the tracking, in with the witness, because it's a loving presence, another tracking situation could be, Oh, look, you're feeling a little insecure about who you are or who you were then. That's a tracking as well. And
right,
it's a very loving thing to do, because there's no right or wrong here. Tracking would be, from my own recollection, would be, oh, I'm noticing I'm not comfortable here. Why is that? And then you go into that place, and you're like, and it's just a noticing. That's what tracking is, the ability to sort of sense yourself and your environment and how you're interplaying with the environment and how you're feeling. It's a really amazing place to be able to track, because you become very astute at knowing what you're feeling, what's going on around you, and the whole interrelation around you. So you get really good at that. And even when you're in your vulnerable places, it's beautiful tracking. You know,
well,
so,
right on. Well, but because part of the tracking, too, is being
able... No, because
able
I think tracking is something, if turning people onto the idea, I mean, everybody kind of already, you know, does stuff like this, maybe noticing is
hard. Oh, right on.
But,
okay.
But tracking is something that Angela Sarian gave me in terms of the concept. But then I really got it as you...
as you did what you did while listening to yourself, that was a tracking moment, and I've done that where you can literally track how you're feeling in the group, you can notice, and this is something that actually I think is, for me, fun, but you can track what's going on in the group, and not because you're judging anyone, it's just an awareness.
I mean,
it's the witness. I think the witness can, I agree that once the witness is effortlessly flowing through self,
Yeah.
It flows through everything because...
Yeah, so you can really pick up what's going on, and it's, you know, I mean, honestly, it's okay, too, that to say that there are times when this is fun stuff. I mean, and fun for me... You know, processing is fun.
I know, me too. It's okay to say that. Don't be afraid to say that.
No, because, you know, some people would go, well, what's the point? And, you know, fun is really a good reason. You know?
Right.
You know, I mean, I was telling Goldie how I used to, as a kid, I was maybe 10, 11. We had this foyer in, you know, the center of the house. And I used to, for hours, twirl up in the air and spin, and there was this like 3 second moment where I could hang in the air, or maybe it was 2 seconds, I don't even know, but I could feel myself suspended in the air. And it was an amazing feeling. And then I would, you know, come down, almost like what an ice skater would do or a dancer. You would hit the floor, you would spin up into the air, and I literally could feel my body hang in the air for this moment. And why did I do it? Because it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I really enjoyed it. So to me, a lot of this is kind of like that kind of spinning and dancing. It's because it's fun. And, and I think that's a really good reason. You know, it doesn't
well, and if it's not fun, and I get it, it will be fun when you understand that the tracking, the self-reflecting, the being honest with yourself. See, all of this are the qualities of someone who has put the relationship they are now seeking is the relationship of self.
Right.
Sometimes it's hard in the beginning. Sometimes it's hard because we ultimately first awaken. Why do we awaken? Usually it's because we're knee deep in shit. And that's not fun to wake up to. Meaningful. And I don't think anybody here, you know, I think everybody here is way past that. But I don't believe that everybody's way past the idea, like, you know, somebody recently in my life said, you know, I don't have time to do self-reflection. I'm going on a date. And I was, like, scratching my head going, really? Like, you can turn it off? I mean,
right.
Me and Janine, we don't turn it off. And to be quite honest, I would never look to turn it off. I'd go on the date and I'd start self-reflecting with this date. That's why I'm this guy now.
Also, maybe 2 weeks ago when a certain bookstore who I thought would love my book said, no, we're not interested. Okay, was that a moment of, like, fun for a split second? No. I was, like, really kind of going, I really thought that was a good fit. But then, you know, you arrive at this profound knowing of, hey, go where you're welcome. Go where the love is. That's it. You know, and then that kind of becomes the fractal for, like, just not my book and book signings, but for everything. You know, I'm listening to Goldie, and that's kind of the thread for her. You know, different stories, same stuff. Go where you're welcome. Go where the love is. Go where the flow is. You know, and if you don't, you'll go. And then next thing you'll know, you'll see all this. Out of that kind of, I guess, tracking, you see all this amazing awareness. Because tonight, I'm listening to you going, "Wow, this is great stuff."
Well, you know what I love? I mean, see. This literally happens in the week. You know, it's like last week was a great show. And when I say great show, you know, what I really love about Janine and me, how we have, you know, just kind of landed in this, that every week we really do just genuinely share whatever is happening to us in the week. And I remember, you know, earlier in the week, like last week about, it was probably right after, I quit on Tuesday. So, like, I think it was about Thursday where I was already like, you know, okay, I'd spoken to my dad. And so I knew he was okay. And, you know, Scott was okay. I was okay. You know, everybody seemed to handle it okay that I didn't have income coming in, you know, at that moment. And one of the things that I started doing, which was, see, this is, again, the witness. I have not looked at my horoscope in over 10 years. I mean, I won't say I've never. I just stopped resonating with, quote unquote, I'm a Pisces. Because most at the time, 10 years ago, Pisces meant, oh, okay, you're emotional, you know, you're a drug addict and you're a dreamer. It's like, okay, well, you know, I'm more than that. It's like, I don't want to listen to Pisces anymore, you know, because right. It was like, you know, being 20 years in an AA meeting, standing up going, hi, my name is Goldie, I'm a drug addict or I'm an alcoholic. And you go, really? You haven't touched a drink in 20 years and you're still going to stand up and call yourself an alcoholic? Don't you think that's not very fitting anymore? I just didn't feel like I was about Pisces. But anyways, The Witness, last week starts taking me. I was looking for some stuff for Alana, who I see on her wall every day. She gets delivered her horoscopes. So I had seen some stuff in Spirit Library, and then I was just on YouTube going, you know, okay, let's just play with this. Again, it's just because I'm guided by some presence inside me to just start clicking on horoscopes. But what they were is not Pisces necessarily. They were October scopes done by astrologers. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I started seeing, you know, five planets all making moves over the weekend that we just had. You know, Saturn, Pluto, and I get it, as Sahana quickly pointed out to me, Pluto's not a planet. All right, in my book, Pluto's still a planet. So, no. So it was Saturn, Pluto, Neptune, Jupiter, and there's one other planet. If anybody else knows, throw it out there. They were all moving into different houses. And one guy, who I actually posted it on my wall, actually saw in the month of October this cross in his chart, the way he made it. And at each point of the cross, the four different points, they were all at 0 degrees. And he literally said, We're literally going to leave a timeline and enter a new timeline. Unprecedented change and shifting going on. I mean, when I hear things like that, I'm telling you, who needs pornography? Just show me things like that, and Goldie's just, you know, having a grand old time. I mean, I was like having my own little orgasm. And from there, I was like, okay, let's see what everybody else is saying about October. And you know, it became, like Janine said, it became really fun, but it was so amazing because in my preparation of knowing what all, because he was the only one that came to that cross, he was the only one that said that. There were definitely other people saying that there was extraordinary shifting going on because the planets were indeed moving. But what I really liked is, so this past weekend, you know, Goldie picked up, the astrology chart. Perception of it, you know, it's like, because seems to me that, you know, knowing immediately makes it, see, if we think we know something, it's so funny, knowing is really about understanding the yes, say yes, because the witness will take you places that in our history we might have gone, no, this doesn't work anymore. Remember why, you know, I could totally see myself, even though I didn't say it, I can see myself going, why the hell would I go to astrology? I'm not referenced as Pisces anymore. But it's like, because my witness wanted me to see, first of all, the only one that I really posted, which was this extraordinary guy's going 0 point on four or zero degrees on a cross chart. I intuitively felt into that and went, this is going to be an extraordinary weekend. And here I'm sharing with you the events that unfolded from the witnessing of that. You know, my witnessing of that, knowing we had to go to that party, because I truly believe I had to go to that party to meet that woman. That was important for me to meet the woman because I saw her character. And then when I learned of her history, it was like, yes, I love that she had some darkness in her story. That's why I really, that is my attraction to her.
60 seconds.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. It was awesome.
And, And so much more to that, that, you know, like you're touching on a lot of it, but then you realize, wow, there's so much more to that story. I mean, that's what I'm feeling anyway. Like, there's so many layers.
Oh, that woman, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, just the layers of you, you know, making that acknowledgement of you noticing her, of you honoring her place. It's just, it's got such multiple effects on everything. Like, that's, you know, it's like, More than what you're even saying. And to me, I'm like, oh, my God, that was so impactful in so many ways.
Right.
Multiple layers.
And, again, they'll unfold through awareness, through, you know, because I get the sense we might run into them again. I don't know why, but right. I mean, it was.
Or that they've affected something that you don't even need to be aware of, but they have. Like they've unleashed and unlocked things for her, for you, for others. It's like a multiple, like my voice tonight.
I know, that's what Simon goes. I think she's you're in multi dimensions. That's why you're echoing.
A multiverse.
You are a multi-diverse, though. You are. You're my best friend, Pumpkin. I told the girls tonight, and they went, Sahana goes, we're your best friends. And I was like, oh, Punky, we could have more than one best friend.
Of course.
I know. It was really sweet of them.
That was really sweet of them.
Yeah. So, listen, I realize we're not streaming in the chat room anymore.
Oh, okay.
But let everybody know for the archives where they can find you.
Okay, thanks. Let's see.
Of course.
I have a website, jlkimmel.com, and I have a Facebook, Janine L. Kimmel, and I have a new book out, which I'll just say, The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle, and that's got a Facebook page as well.
Nice.
So we're going to talk about that soon.
Yes. I'm in present. This week I'm going to interview Anya. She just finished reading the book. And there's a couple of other things we need to get done. We will definitely dedicate an entire show to my friend and buddy, Sean the Rabbit Thief.
great show, Goldie.
Oh, thank you, babe. Great show, too. Another reality show this Wednesday night. Do me a favor if you can. Type in the thing, just Wednesday night, Jennifer Adele.
Okay.
This Wednesday night, Jennifer Adele is going to be doing nature readings and it's a tarot card, so call in and ask questions. I invite everybody to do that. And coming up soon, I'm going to have Daniel Jacob do part 3 of the portals. And I'm still trying to get Hans Wilhelm, the gentleman who did those little short videos, to come in. He only wants to do an hour show, and we're having some scheduling issues, but he'll be on soon as well. And I'm bringing somebody back from the past, a gentleman named Chuck, and of course I blanked out from his Gallagher, who is one of my favorite people in the world because he started off as a thief. He was an embezzler, and he's now touring, and he has been for a while. He speaks on ethics. He's exquisite. And it's time to bring Chuck back on the show. And he's asked me, could I come back on? So I was like, absolutely. So those are some upcoming shows. And, of course, there's always Janine and me. Next Monday night, unless we decide to do a show some other time. appreciating and loving all of you. You're all amazing. Thank you so much for being here. Janine, I love you with all my heart.
Thank you, Goldie. I love you, too.
These are amazing, amazing times we live in, and I am truly blessed and honored to share them with you, truly. So,
thank you. I feel
my
every word.
right on. All right, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, we will speak to you soon. Be well. Take care.
Bye.
Love you all. Daddy goes. Bye.
I'm so glad I had
together.
We have a laugh, we'll sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long.
Goodbye.
Good night, everybody. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Lord's